Eat me. Feed me more. Feed me more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 57 of Spoilers. This is Ben Gartland, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host today, Graham Matthews. What's going on, man?
Ben, doing great today. Ready to discuss this Sunday's electric, highly anticipated Royal Rumble pay-per-view in only mere 3 days. Cannot wait for it. Headlined by Rock versus Punk, the Royal Rumble match, and everything else advertised with the card. Extremely excited to start breaking it down here tonight on Spoilers.
It looks to be very good. Let's start off with some Raw results. Wait, first of all, Seth's with us today?
Yeah, he said he'll be joining us in, just shortly. He said he is working on something in a moment. He's going to be on in a little bit.
All right, sounds good. Then let's get started with some Monday Night Raw results. We open up with Vicky Guerrero and Paul Heyman coming out to the ring, and they talk about each of their feuds that they're in. And then it's announced that there's going to be a Beat the Clock Challenge match. The winner gets to take a spot in the Royal Rumble. First Beat the Clock Challenge match is Randy Orton versus Antonio Cesaro. Orton wins that at 11 minutes and 36 seconds. And then we have Big Show versus Zack Ryder. In a quick match, Big Show wins that. That's not for the Beat the Clock Challenge. Then we had Heath Slater taking on Ryback. Ryback, a quick win there. And then it is announced that Raw Roulette will take place next Monday from Las Vegas, the day after Royal Rumble. And then we have another Beat the Clock Challenge, Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. At 10 minutes and 56 seconds, Dolph Ziggler picks up the victory there. And then we have a graduation ceremony with Kane and Daniel Bryan graduating from their anger management therapy classes, and everyone has a big hug, and it's pretty awesome. And then we have Alicia Fox versus Caitlin. Caitlin wins that. And then we have The Rock come out and give a promo. And then we have another Beat the Clock Challenge match, Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. This match really never got started. Ziggler ended up winning the Beat the Clock Challenge, so he gets to choose his spot in the Rumble. Then we have Alberto Del Rio versus Tensai Del Rio wins that. And then it's announced that Bob Backlund will also be going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. And then we had John Cena come out and give his final go-home promo, and then a bunch of other people come out, and they have the Royal Rumble, and the show ends with a Royal Rumble brawl. So what did you think of this go-home show?
So overall, I thought it was a solid show. I thought we had three excellent matches and three beat-the-clock challenge matches. Usually, I don't like the beat-the-clock challenge concept. Going back to last April when we had Daniel Bryan win it, usually it makes for short matches, and they're usually pointless, and I know this kind of tournament was rather pointless because it was announced later on that Ziggler had either the first or second spot to choose from, as decided by Raw's interim general manager, Vicky Guerrero. So I thought that was pretty pointless and stupid, but even still made sense, given her history with Dolph Ziggler and whatnot. So I understand that. That's fine. But even still, we got three great matches out of it with Orton, Cesaro, Barrett, and Sheamus, and Miz and Ziggler. Really enjoyed those matches. As far as promos goes, I really enjoyed the Rock promo as well as the CM Punk's promo. Two very strong performances from both guys, helping hype their WWE Championship match on Sunday one last time, as well as the Shield attack as well on The Rock, which I found pleasantly surprising. That was a major shocker with the lights going out, attacking Rock. The added touch of the blood was a nice touch as well. I know that was probably real, but even still, they got a nice close-up of it, making Rock look vulnerable going into his WWE Championship match on Sunday, so that was great. Of course, the major low light from this week's show was the ending promo. The brawl I didn't really have a problem with. The Royal Rumble match itself, I've said this numerous times in the past few weeks, has not gotten enough hype, so I'm glad they finally hyped that match up. A bit predictable, but even still, I mean, it was typical of WWE to do the massive brawl thing. We see that every year, but it was hype nonetheless. I understand that. I will take it for what it was. Then the John Cena promo that came before that. I mean, I'm not going to rag on John Cena all that much because we've come to do that a lot over the years, but even still, it was a typical promo from Cena that had absolutely nothing to do with the Royal Rumble for the first half of it, and then pretty something uninspiring where he said that I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, which is something that everyone says. I mean, I was just not inspired by that whatsoever, and I don't think anyone was. I think it was probably one of the worst John Cena promos that we've seen in quite some time, and I mean, it's quite a shame, too, because he can be excellent on the mic when he's given a serious situation to talk about. We saw with him and Rock last year in the final few Raws for Mania, as we saw with him and Punk earlier, later in 2012. So, I mean, he has the potential to be better on the mic when necessary, but it's in times like this when he's giving the say gamer tag and talking about ladies night out and whatnot, that it's just really making a lot of people groan, because with the Royal Rumble, one of the biggest events in WWE's calendar of the new year, John Cena is talking about all this meaningless crap before going on to the Royal Rumble that has absolutely nothing to do with what he's talking about. So I didn't enjoy that, but overall I thought it was a solid show and got me really excited for this upcoming Sunday's Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
Yeah, I saw this one thing where a typical Cena promo, it has three different stages. Yeah, the first, which is a pop culture reference to get the pops from the little teenage fans. And then you have, he actually finally gets to his point, and then the third stage is he yells really loud about his point to get over how serious he is. And I think I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my goodness, this is every single promo he has, including Monday night.
Exactly. It does nothing to sell the pay-per-view or the match itself. It was completely meaningless. And I mean, I said this before, but maybe, just maybe, it's setting up for something down the road. I highly, highly doubt it. I think this is just another case of Cena having, you know, one of those just bad promo nights. But it could be a case of them just showing how bad John Cena really can be in the mic and how bland he is as a face. And then on Sunday, I mean, this is kind of getting my Rumble predictions here, but you have him cross Rock the WWE Championship in his match with Punk, not really turning heel per se, but you can have him become more edgier, and I think this is just maybe the last time that we'll see Cena as in this, you know, in this form. But even still, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Cena going forward. I really, really did not like that promo at all on Monday. I don't think anyone did, but as I said before, I think it would have been fine if there was any other Raw, but I don't know. I mean, just 6 days before one of their biggest pay-per-views of the year, he just completely drops the ball by, as you said, talking about something that was completely irrelevant, stating what his point is, and then yelling it with all in 10 minutes of the show. Because given the fact they hyped this so heavily over the course of the show, was what really bothered me. And given the fact that they hyped it so much going into the show, or over the course of the show, that kind of gives the indicator that he might be going over on Sunday, which is a real shame because I really don't think he needs it. But before we get to you, Ben, and your thoughts on the situation, we do have a caller on the line with the area code 917. Please state your name, where you're from, and your thoughts on this past week's episode of Monday Night Raw.
Graham, what's up, man? It's JCD from Seth's show. How's it going, man?
Hey, how's it going, JCD? Doing good.
Good, good. I thought it was a train wreck. This is how bad I thought it was. If I miss Raw, what I'll do is I'll DVR it from the start, watch what I can live, and then just go back and watch it at the end. That's how I handle Raw on Monday nights. Cena's promo was so bad, I had to turn it off, and I went back and watched the Bob Backlund Hall of Fame promo, because Cena was just, I just couldn't stand him babbling about nonsense, and you just said it best. As the go-home moment for one of the biggest four shows of the year, this is what he puts forward. And what would scare me even more is I've read some things that they just felt that it all fell apart on him and he didn't know what to do. That's scary, that this is one of your big guys who's unfortunately probably going to go over one of your biggest shows of the year, and he can't handle cutting a promo about how he wants to win the Royal Rumble, and that's what you end the show with? It was just, it was a mess to me, man.
Yeah, I agree with that fact. That is pretty interesting how he states that, given the fact that he had the pressure on him that he failed to deliver. That could be a very good possibility that was the case on Monday night. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of do blame Cena for that. I mean, he's been around for quite some time now, over a decade. And as I said before, we've seen strong promos from Cena in the past. That's what really disappoints me. I mean, if he cut these kind of shitty promos every week, I wouldn't be surprised. But, again, given the fact that it was days before one of the biggest events of the year, and given the fact that we've seen him cut great promos in the past, it's really disappointing me at the conclusion of Raw. So, Ben, if you want to give your thoughts.
I just had one thing I want to know what you guys thought that they haven't touched on. With Cena being in the Rumble and with Cena being such a heavy favorite, I don't know. I think they've dropped the ball in the sense that they've never once had him address the fact that he could get his rematch with The Rock if The Rock wins and defeats CM Punk, or he can get a one-on-one rematch with Punk, considering all the drama and, you know, false finishes they had this year. I was a little disappointed that they actually didn't touch on that. I just want to know if you guys had any point of view on that.
Yeah. Well, actually, my booking was the fact that they kind of do it back to Shawn Michaels' Taker from 2010, where Michaels' whole purpose of going into the Rumble was to win the Rumble so he could face Taker at Mania for the World Heavyweight Championship. And when he lost the Rumble, Taker was still world champion. He cost him the world title at Elimination Chamber. What I personally would do, because I think it's not confirmed yet, we'll kind of see on Sunday, but the WWE Championship match will more than likely headline the show, which is fine by me. I know the Royal Rumble match should always headline the event, but given the fact that the Royal Rumble match itself could disappoint if a guy like Sheamus or Orton or Cena could win, therefore the WWE Championship match can't disappoint, in my opinion. If you have Rock go over, great. If you have Punk go over, even better. So you can't go wrong there. So I'd much rather have that main event the show, but even still, you have John Cena enter the Royal Rumble match, staying there for quite some time. He gets a nice lengthy appearance in the Royal Rumble match, gets eliminated by maybe Dolph Ziggler or something. In their feud, finally, gets Ziggler from Rob. Cena goes berserk after getting eliminated, and then costs Rock the match later on the night because he can't go to Mania to face the WWE champion since he lost the Rumble. So he's going to have to settle for Rock one-on-one at Mania without a championship on the line. Therefore, Rock will have to challenge Cena to a match at Mania. I mean, by this point, nobody wants to see a rematch, but I mean, I guess it's pretty set in stone at this point. We're going to be seeing a rematch after the major buy rate they did last year, so I'll be fine with it if they do a rematch. It just needs to be approached the right way, and I think this is the right way to do it, by having Cena become more edgy after that shit that we saw on Monday's Raw, by having him go into this dude Rock in a whole new state, not cracking jokes at Rock that we saw for the year building up to the match at 28. We see a whole new Cena going into WrestleMania 29, where he eventually goes over after losing to Rock last year. So that was just my booking 101 for the event on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I just wanted to throw one more thing at you guys before I got to run. I watched Rock Cena again the other night, and I noticed it at the time, and I noticed it again. Rock was disgustingly winded in that match with Cena. I one thing that I haven't seen anyone mention, let's hope his cardio's in better shape, because if not, not only did Punk embarrass him on the mic, but Punk's going to embarrass him in the ring on Sunday if Rocky's not in shape himself.
I thought he would have been in shape in time for WrestleMania 28, quite honestly. I mean, he wrestled at Survivor Series a couple months prior to that, and if he was winded during that match, I know it was a tag team match, but even still, he should have learned from the fact that he was winded from that, so he should have gotten better shape for WrestleMania 28. And you were right. I mean, given the fact that he was disgustingly winded from WrestleMania 28, you would think that he'd be in better shape come the Royal Rumble. Hopefully he is. And I get, from what I was reading at the time, he was training intensely going into the WrestleMania event, and he was still looking winded during the course of that match, and I haven't read anything about him getting ready for the Royal Rumble. So hopefully he does get prepared and in better shape for this event so he can look as an equal to Punk in the ring. And I mean, I know he's a great performer, but again, he hasn't wrestled a match in nearly 10 months. So hopefully he can get in great shape in order to perform in a very entertaining match, what has the potential to be a great match with Punk on Sunday.
Yep, let's hope. All right, thanks for taking my call, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Great talking to you, man.
Later.
All right. But anyways, come back on talking about Rock and being ready for the Royal Rumble. If, I don't know, it would be almost a disgrace if he comes in not ready, because I know he's this big, huge star coming in after previously 7 years of inaction. Or something like that. And if he were to, and he comes in and he gets this main event spot and then he wins during the entire match, I find that almost pathetic. You know? I think if he's going to come in with for a very part-time gig, he needs to make his big impact every single time he steps into the ring. And he needs to put on his best work. I mean, you see The Undertaker these past 2 years. He's worked one match a year, and he looks great. Now, understandably, Undertaker's also now working with a full filming schedule. But Rock should come in good cardiovascular health. He should be able to go a whole match. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it would be even worse if you won the championship and that's it. I mean, as I said before, I have no problem with Rock winning the championship on Sunday. I'd mark out if that happened the first time since 2002 that he's held the WWE championship. But as you said, if he goes into that match in that state where he's breathing heavily and he's just not in any condition to perform whatsoever, and he goes over CM Punk while, like, breathing intensely after winning the championship, then that is what's going to disappoint me the most, the fact that he did not prepare for this match at all and then expect to go over and win the championship like it's nothing and then just expect to hold the championship to WrestleMania without wrestling all that much anyway. So that's going to be the disgusting part if that's what happens. And you can only imagine how Punk will feel. I mean, he's voiced his opinion on this numerous times, both in kayfabe and in real life, and maybe a condition of both, or where both is what he's saying is true. I mean, given the fact that Rock comes in only a few dates a year and then expects to win the championship, and I think either you or Seth or someone said this last week when we were talking about this, but having Rock go over CM Punk basically renders everyone else that's gone for the WWE championship over the last 14 months basically irrelevant. Guys like Chris Jericho, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Mark Henry, Kane, all those guys, the guys that have vowed for the WWE championship on numerous occasions over the course of 2012 and were failing to get the WWE title. So then you have Rock come in and finally beat Punk. That basically says that he's better than everyone. And I mean, given the fact that he doesn't wrestle every night a year, then I don't know what you're basically saying about all the other talent on the roster at the moment. So that's just one of my gripes. And as you said, I understand the fact that if he's coming not in shape and whatever, that's going to be the biggest slap in the face to all wrestling fans, especially CM Punk, a guy that's worked his ass off over the last 14 months as WWE champion, working Raws, SmackDowns, main events, house shows, everything, with him and John Cena at the top of the card because they're the only two top stars in the moment. So, again, it's going to be interesting come Sunday, and hopefully he does get in good shape in time for the matchup with CM Punk. So it is a phenomenal match, as many of us are expecting.
Yeah, and like you said about the past 14 months, now I completely agree on this because, my biggest thing is if you're going to come in and only work part-time, you need to be at your best shape possible. I hope he's every morning running 5 to 6 miles or some of that nature, just to get his stamina up, just so he can go 30 minutes in the ring.
And I
would find it completely disrespectful if he's not. Disrespectful to the fans, disrespectful to the company, to the other wrestlers, and to CM Punk. So he really needs to be in shape for this match.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now, I was so adamant about CM Punk holding on to the title until the year passed. Now that the year's passed, I'm open to him losing it. Because I really just wanted to see someone who's really not considered who wasn't really considered to be one of the biggest WWE champion, and then he comes in and holds the title for over a year, and I thought that was just momentous in WWE's history. And I was very happy to see that happen for him to reach that milestone. But now that the year has passed, I would not be too upset to see him lose it. So I'd be okay with Rock going over as long as Rock is up to the level of CM Punk. If you know what I mean. Like, he has to be fit, he has to be agile, and he needs to be standing tall at the end, not breathing heavily.
Exactly. I'd be completely content if Rock won the championship, especially if it meant him headlining Mania with Punk again and the triple threat match with Cena. That'd be pretty great. Or Cena goes over in the Royal Rumble, which I hope he doesn't, but even still, him versus Cena is bound to happen in WrestleMania for the WWE Championship with Cena going over. That's a predictable route I hope they don't take, but it looks like that at this point. But I guess we'll have to see on Sunday. But still, yeah, I think it's time for a change with CM Punk. But the major question being asked in my mind is, what do you do with CM Punk after he drops the WWE Championship? Whether it's after WrestleMania or after Royal Rumble on Sunday, probably after he drops the title, or if he drops the title, I should say, on Sunday, he'll probably go back for the title in the Elimination Chamber or Mania. I understand that. Or probably face Punk, have Punk face Taker at WrestleMania 29. That could be a great match. But even still, after Taker's gone and after he's done with the WWE Championship, what do you do with CM Punk? Because I was thinking about this the other day. There's not many feats for him to go for. I mean, if Cena's holding the championship, you can't do Punk versus Cena for the millionth time. I understand their matches are phenomenal, but we've seen that how many times in the last 3-4 years. So I don't really want to see that again over the championship. And then, so what do you do with CM Punk is basically what I'm asking you, after WrestleMania, after Royal Rumble, whatever.
Well, one thing I could see him doing, because we really haven't seen this feud before, is if Punk loses the title, on SmackDown you have Ziggler cash in his Money in the Bank contract, win the World Heavyweight Championship. Then I could see a feud between Ziggler and Punk over the World Heavyweight Championship. Because I think Punk would be a great first feud for Ziggler if he were to win the title.
Would you see Ziggler or CM Punk as the face?
Ooh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Huh. I don't know. I'd kind of like to see Ziggler as the face.
Yeah, because it was the roles reversed a year ago, and we started the Royal Rumble last year for the WWE title. So yeah, that'd be pretty interesting. Or him versus Del Rio again, and with the roles reversed with Del Rio as the face. I mean, I guess you could do the kind of feuds with the roles being reversed, when maybe Punk is a face and Orton is a heel, because Orton's bound to turn heel soon too. And one thing I did want to discuss, one thing that was on Lords of Pain this past week, or just yesterday, or just today, I should say, two feuds being discussed for Brock Lesnar during the course of 2013. Now, of course, his current contract with World Wrestling Entertainment expires at WrestleMania after he signed it last year, after the day after WrestleMania 28. That was a year-long contract. It was like $5 million, something like that, and I believe they're going to have him sign the same contract for the next year going to WrestleMania 30. That's great to see. Huge fan of Brock Lesnar, so I'm glad to see him re-signing with the company again, despite the fact that he hasn't appeared many times in the last year. But even still, two feuds are being discussed for him in the new year, with him versus Randy Orton, a feud that was discussed last summer before they inevitably went with him versus Triple H, or him versus CM Punk. Now, this is a feud that I've been wanting, a lot of people have been wanting, since Brock Lesnar stepped into the company. I mean, this is a feud that we wanted when Punk was face. Not possible at the moment with Punk being heel. Maybe he turns face or Lesnar turns face or whatever, but they're both Paul Heyman guys. I understand that Punk's smaller than Brock Lesnar, but Punk has that fight in him. They both have similar styles in a sense. So I think that they can have a great matchup, great feud and whatever is over, you know, the Paul Heyman thing. So I want to get your thoughts on those two feuds as well.
I like that because it kind of put Paul Heyman right smack dab in the middle of them. And I actually think that could be quite entertaining. You can have an angle similar, almost similar to Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, and Miss Elizabeth back in the late 80s. Except that they wouldn't be fighting for Paul Heyman's love. They would be fighting for his managerial skills. Anyway, I think that'd be kind of cool. just to see them, just to see Paul Heyman stuck right in the middle of that, because he really wouldn't know what to do, or he could be all, or he could choose one person, like he could desert CM Punk and then go back to Lesnar, which in my opinion would be better because Lesnar's weak on the mic, and so Punk kind of feels betrayed. That could actually lead to a Punk face turn, which to put it simply, I wouldn't be mad about it. I mean, that's not the most exciting thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I mean, I guess it's more the fact that Punk is the top heel in the company at the moment, because he was a great face in my opinion. I loved him as a face. I was disappointed when he turned heel, but obviously it ended up being one of the most entertaining things in WWE at the moment. So, I mean, especially given their, you know, stunning lack of heels at the moment, I don't think it's the thing that you do tomorrow. Maybe in, you know, the final few months of 2013 or whatever, you have Paul Heyman turn on CM Punk, join Brock Lesnar, or returning Brock Lesnar, you have CM Punk turn face in a sense. And I don't think you can't turn Brock Lesnar face against CM Punk. That just wouldn't work at all. I don't understand. You can't really have the bigger guy go after the smaller guy when CM Punk's a heel. That just wouldn't make sense in my personal opinion. But you could have it the other way around. I just don't know when you could do it. I wanted to see that feud last year when Punk was still face. But maybe you can do it down the line. But I want to see it this year. But hopefully it's going to be interesting to see how they go about it if they do it this year. But, yeah, I understand the whole fact that you're maybe not also thrilled about Punk turning face. Neither am I, especially given the fact that he just turned, a year ago? And then he turned face the year before that in July, too. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar in the new year and who turns face and who stays with Paul Heyman or whatever. So that's certainly going to be interesting in the new year and whatever they do with those two going forward. But on that note, we are joined by now Seth Gunplan, finally coming on the broadcast. How's it going tonight, Seth?
Good, good. Sorry to make a late appearance, but better late than never.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. So how's it going, guys? What have you guys been talking about?
Just been talking about Raw and Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk or Brock Lesnar versus Orton, you know, just a few things of that nature.
Oh, great. I actually published an article today looking at, you know, some must-see feuds involving Brock Lesnar in 2013, and CM Punk was definitely on that list.
Exactly. That was one of the most must-see feuds that we were just talking on. We really wanted to get your thoughts on how they can go about that, if Punk was the face or if Lesnar was the face, or how they would go about doing that feud in the course of 13.
Well, I think there's only one way to do it. I think Paul Heyman would have to side with Lesnar because obviously Punk's mic skills are phenomenal and Lesnar's are the complete opposite. So it would actually make the most sense for Heyman to turn his back on Punk and side with Lesnar, and which would actually turn Punk face, which would be interesting.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking too.
Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of like this idea of Paul Heyman being stuck in the middle. I think that would just be the most fun thing ever.
I mean, they could do that for a little bit. I mean, you don't have Heyman immediately turn on Punk, but yeah, that's a thing that you could do over time. And then in the end, he ends up turning on Punk, and then you could turn him face or whatever. I mean, even first, before you even do that, I mean, maybe you can have a form a unit or something, him, Lesnar, and Heyman. I mean, you just have Punk, Lesnar, and Heyman, just a three-man unit. I mean, I don't think that's a thing that you could do over the course of a few months if Lesnar's only going to be doing a few dates a year if he has the same contract as he did before. But, I mean, maybe you do it straight after May, they do it again when he comes back. I don't know, but I don't know how you'd go about that. But, yeah, it would be interesting to have Heyman in the middle for quite a bit before they eventually did the switch and had Punk turn face in order to feed the Lesnar, which could be a great match, in my opinion.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah, sure. I was just saying that we could drag along the whole Heyman versus Punk, or Heyman, Punk, and Lesnar thing, the whole triangle, the Bermuda Triangle kind of thing, where you just have those two feud. You have Heyman in the middle for quite a while. I mean, you don't immediately do the switch with Heyman turning on Punk, but you can drag it out for a little bit. I'm not sure you could do it three months or whatever, you know, given Lesnar's current contract where he only appears a few days a year, but you have Heyman turn on Punk in the end, and I think it can make for a great match at some point.
I think that's the way it would have to go about. And it would be interesting if somehow Heyman ended up being, you know, a special referee or something like that, or somehow more involved in the actual match itself.
Exactly. Special guest referee would be the perfect role for him in that match.
Yeah, oh my goodness, that'd be just fantastic. First of all, he'd be hilarious as a ref. You know?
I could picture that, yeah.
Yeah. But, oh no, we're definitely speculating a lot ahead. I mean, we still have Rock and Punk to look forward to on Sunday, which I really think will be a pretty good match. And here's what I'm thinking. If Royal Rumble closes the night, Punk goes over. If Punk Rock closes the night, then Rock's going over. I think that's how we'll know.
So you'll think that if Punk drops the championship first, then he'll enter the Royal Rumble and win the Royal Rumble?
I actually don't think you can do that.
They entered their Rumble last year after the championship matches. I just didn't know if that's what you meant by that.
No, I'm just saying that I just think it's going to be bigger if Rock goes over. So I think that will close the show. But if Punk's going to go over, then Royal Rumble's going to end the show.
Oh, okay, because you said having the Rumble end the show, then, okay, I thought you meant Punk will go over in the Rumble. I thought that's what you meant by that, because some people were saying that, some people were proposing that idea, which I find completely ridiculous, given the fact that he has a championship rematch, so you don't really need to do it. I would love to see Punk win the Royal Rumble at some point, because he is one of the younger, fresher faces that we have yet to Rumble, or win the Royal Rumble, rather. So that would be interesting at some point. Yeah, it's just not this year, because that would make absolutely no sense at all. I mean, it would be better than John Cena, but, yeah, it wouldn't make any sense given the championship rematch. But also another thing that people were talking about, kind of illogical to me, but I don't think we were talking about this last week. I think this is about this past week. But Dolph Ziggler is one of the major candidates, at least upon the IWC, to win the Royal Rumble so he can cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase on the road to WrestleMania, win the World Heavyweight Championship, and contend for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania in a title unification match. And the reason why I say that is becoming more likely now. Just today it was revealed that the house shows that were branded as Raw house shows and their SmackDown house shows and whatever, now they're just being branded as WWE live events, meaning that guys just travel from live event for the first time, and I think ever. So that's a new thing. I think the major concern with unifying the world championships was having not one world title at the SmackDown tapings, or if you have the undisputed WWE champion at the live event for Raw, then there's nobody at the SmackDown taping to take it to those shows. So if you unify the two house shows, it gets rid of that problem. But I'm still not a fan of the undisputed gimmick, even if Ziggler was the champion. I think it'd just be a major flop in the end. So, but I just want to get your guys on that as well. An undisputed championship run with Dolph Ziggler and him winning the Royal Rumble and all that nonsense.
I like the idea. I think it's definitely possible. And I've always been someone who feels if they're not two separate brands, which Stephanie McMahon has recently made it clear that it doesn't seem like it's going to be two different brands anytime soon, that there's no point in having the two world titles. So if they do decide to do that with Ziggler, it would make sense. My only thinking is that they're obviously going to keep the WWE title around Punk, Rock, Cena for a while. And now they've really invested a lot into Alberto Del Rio and trying to build him up. So it probably wouldn't be that smart to take that away from him just yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see this happen maybe after WrestleMania, not before.
It'd be interesting to see if they did do it before WrestleMania. I think if they did do it before Mania, then it just play out like the way I said with the Rumble thing and the cash-in. But yeah, it'd be more interesting if they did it after Mania. I guess only time will tell, because, again, anything is predict. I mean, anything is unpredictable at this point as far as what goes down to WrestleMania. Kind of, what happens at the Royal Rumble is kind of set the stage for WrestleMania 29 because almost anything is bound to happen at this point. So I'm looking forward to it, but again, as much as I like Dolph Ziggler, I don't think he'd make a great undisputed champion. I mean, I know they did the same thing with Jericho back, you know, a decade ago, and he wasn't a big champion. He lost most. He didn't lose every match that he was involved in, but his feud with Triple H, he was on the losing side for almost every single one of their matches, and he wasn't booked to look like a strong champion. And he himself has stated that he did not enjoy his first run as undisputed champion. So I don't think they'd be able to do a major success with Ziggler as their top champion, but again, anything is possible. I mean, I think the guy has great potential as a world heavyweight champion, just not at the top of their company with both world championships. And I personally believe that if you just have two world championships, and I know you don't have to have the brands and whatever, you don't have to have the world title on the SmackDown brand or the WWE title on the Raw brand. My major concern is the fact, what do you do with the younger guys like Ziggler, like Barrett, like Sheamus? Those guys that deserve a run with the world championship, what do you do with those guys when you have a guy like CM Punk holding the WWE championship for over a year? That was just my major concern with unifying the championships, but I guess the only time will tell as far as if they unify them or not, because I know that's been in the talks, or that's been discussed for years now. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that.
Well, Graham, do you think that if they do the unification and there is only one world title, what it will do is actually do a lot for the mid-card titles. It would do a lot for the Intercontinental and United States championships, and it might even boost the tag team titles, you know, because there just wouldn't be as many championships.
That's true. I mean, there's not many main eventers for the Raw side as it is. I mean, I'm not talking like show-wise, but I mean, on Raw, if you just kind of take away everyone that's competing for the World Championship right now, you just have Punk and Rock. I mean, you have Punk and Rock, it doesn't really count because he's only a part-timer. Then you have Cena and Punk, and that's basically, and you have Ryback too, I'm sorry. But aside from that, yeah, I guess that could boost the prestige, not really prestige, but yeah, the division for the U.S. Championship and the Intercontinental Championship. I know that was being discussed at one point. Unifying the U.S. Championship and the IC Championships, which I don't think would be a good idea at this point. That was being discussed, I think, as recently as last year. But as you were saying, I think that'd be great for both divisions if they only unified the World Championships and not the mid-card titles. Because then we could see guys like Famous and Barrett and whatever competing over the Intercontinental Championship, making it feel important. So, yeah, I guess that could do some wonders for the mid-card championships. And, yeah, as you said, maybe even the tag team titles as well, especially with guys like Daniel Bryan and Kane, who have been holding the championships for the past 4 months, in my personal opinion, have done wonders for both the belts in the division itself. So they've been doing a great job with that. And once they eventually drop the championships, maybe as soon as Sunday to Road Scholars, then Road Scholars will be all set with they have everything cut out for them as tag team champions. So it should be interesting to see what they do with, you know, all the championships on the road to WrestleMania 29.
Yeah. And well, because I think that if you unify the big championships, now I'm not too big on Ziggler necessarily being part of it, because I think I think it needs to be between two really, really big people. Like, Ziggler hasn't really won a world title yet. Now I want him to win the world title this year, but I'm still not sure if I want him in that big unification part. But anyway, if the two big titles are unified, that's going to put one feud where there was once two. That's going to leave more room for the U.S. title, for the Intercontinental Championship, and for the Tag Team Championship, all for the Divas Championship. So it's going to leave more room in the programming for the minor championships, and I actually think that could really work for the mid-card championships.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, I guess it can make both, or the Undisputed Championship, if they were to unify, make even feel it more important, despite the fact that, I mean, it's only important as it is. I mean, back in 2011, when we both had world championships changing like crazy on all three pay-per-views, or almost at every single pay-per-view, we had both world championships changing hands, which was absolutely ridiculous. Since Punk has, you know, regained the championship, he's done an amazing job with making it feel prestigious again. Going back to his promo on Monday, just talking about how prestigious the WWE championship really was. So, yeah, I think a lot of slots open for the mid-card championships, as you guys were saying, for both the IC Championship and the U.S. Championship. You guys got, like, you have guys like Wade Barrett and Sheamus as four competing over the IC Championship. Yeah, it could do wonders to the division as it is. I mean, the IC Championship used to work. I think Barrett's doing a fine job with it right now. Cesaro has been doing a terrific job as champion over the last 4 or 5 months. And I'm surely hoping that he does not drop the championship on Sunday to Miz. And, I mean, as much as I like the Miz, I think he's above the U.S. Championship and does not need the U.S. title. Whereas Cesaro has been doing an amazing job at the championship since SummerSlam. And, I mean, if he holds a championship to WrestleMania, I can damn near bet you that he will be headlining, but he will be defending his U.S. championship at WrestleMania for the first time since 23, I think, when we had Benoit versus MVP. So it'd go a long way in making the title feel prestigious, because I know a lot of people say, myself included, that Santino tarnished his championship when he was holding it last year. So hopefully Cesaro goes on to continue his reign as U.S. champion. That's kind of getting my prediction as well, but hopefully Cesaro goes over on Sunday, which should be a pretty entertaining match with Miz and Patricia.
I'd be very surprised to see Cesaro lose that title already, and especially to the Miz, who is doing a little bit better as a babyface recently. But when Cesaro loses that title, it's going to be a big deal, and the Miz is just not that big of a deal right now.
Exactly. And a lot of people are saying who's the face in at WrestleMania if he makes it that far, which he probably will. I know I was saying Christian, but a lot of people have been saying Jack Swagger, which I understand too. That being said, it's going to be a big thing when he eventually drops the U.S. Championship. So I think it'd be better to do it with Jack Swagger rather than Christian. I know Christian's a former World Heavyweight Champion. Maybe do Christian versus Cesaro. Maybe not at Mania. Maybe you do an Elimination Chamber. And yeah, Cesaro will go over a former World Heavyweight Champion. Then he goes down to WrestleMania to face Swagger, who returns as a babyface to go for the U.S. Championship. Because I know Cesaro more recently has been, you know, showing the U.S. qualities with the flag, and on his site he's been having the U.S. flag in there as well. So, yeah, that nephew's press practically just built itself right there. So, and adding the fact that the match would be great, because obviously Cesaro is a solid wrestler, as is Swagger, so the match could be great as well. So hopefully we can get that at Mania, because Swagger hasn't met anything in God knows how long. So hopefully we can get that match at Mania for the U.S. Championship, because that has the potential to be great as well.
Anyways, do you guys have any more thoughts on that before we move on?
Nope.
Don't think so, nope.
All right. Let's talk about, and I thought this was one of the funniest segments of the night, Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Dr. Shelby.
I thought it was hysterical, yeah.
That was, I don't know. I don't know who thought of pairing up Daniel Bryan and Kane, but that person who thought of that is a genius, because they are one of the best tag teams in recent memory.
Absolutely. I mean, I love the segment. I really, really did. I love the hugging thing, the graduation thing. Hopefully this does not mean the end of Dr. Shelby, because he has been one of the most entertaining aspects of this team since it started backing up in August. So be sad to see him go. They didn't really make a big deal about him Monday. So I don't get the feeling that he's gone for good. But even so, my only gripe with this segment was the fact that it did nothing at all to hype the WWE Tag Team Championship on Monday. And I know I did not want any more tag team, I'm sorry, any more singles matches between Team Rhodes Scholars and Team Elmo. Only God knows how many matches we've seen between those four guys over the last 3-4 months. Because this is a feud that's been going back since, what, September? Since when they first won the Tag Team Championships. They've been feuding ever since then, and they've done almost every match possible, imaginable. So the only way that I could see it going is to have Team Rhodes Scholars win on Sunday. I mean, again, as you said, Team Hell No has been extremely entertaining since they formed. But I think it's running its course. As entertaining as they are, as great of wrestlers that they are in their tag team matches, they've done a lot to help resurrect the tag team division and make it important again. But I think it's Team Rhodes Scholars' time to hold those championships, and they have Daniel Bryan and Kane go their separate ways going into Mania without them having a match against one another, because I don't think that would be the best thing for them at this point after their feud last year. But yeah, and with all that aside, yeah, I really didn't enjoy the segment, but I just didn't like the fact they did nothing to help hype the tag team title match on Monday or on Sunday at the Royal Rumble. They didn't even mention all that much. I know they had Team Rhodes Scholars interrupt the segment during a commercial break, which doesn't do anything for anyone, so that, I didn't get that part of it. But I mean, all that aside, yeah, the hype for the Royal Rumble match aside, I did like this segment. It was very enjoyable. Dr. Shelby, Kane, Daniel Bryan all played their roles extremely well. And as you said, yes, I completely agree in the fact that Team Hell No has been the most entertaining act in WWE over the last 6 months.
I was really glad to see Dr. Shelby back. I think I hope I've made it clear that I've been wanting to see him be a regular character on WWE TV. And I even wrote recently, I'd really like to see him manage Team Hell No. I know they don't need him, but I think it just adds a lot of entertainment to the situation. But I also could see him sort of being like how Sunny was when she was managing a number of different tag teams, and she just went with the new tag team champions when they won the titles. So I'd almost like to see Shelby with Team Hell No and then transition over to be with the Road Scholars, because their interactions were also amazing.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, if they lose the championships on Sunday, I don't know if that's how they would lose the titles, but that would definitely be interesting, or would be extremely exciting to see Dr. Shelby stick around on television by aligning with Road Scholars by helping them win the tag team titles on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Okay. Oh, now I remember. Okay. Starting off with Ken and Daniel Bryan, and then also Road Scholars, you've got all these tag teams that are starting to come up and starting to resurrect the division. That's good. And now look at the indie wrestlers that have been signed in the recent months, El Generico being the prominent one that's coming up. And this is kind of vague, or not necessarily vague, but all of these moves that the IWC has been clamoring for, the Resurrection Tag Team Division, the signing of some of the prominent indie stars, really all started when Triple H took over, or when he got his big promotion.
Yep, I think he's been the catalyst of change since he took over. And it's not in July of 2011, I think that was when he took over on television, but over the last 2 years, I'll say, yeah, he's definitely been one of the biggest agents of change in WWE since he took over, and I think we've seen a lot of positive things about, you know, in WWE since he took over about 2 years ago, with the signing of numerous stars, as you just said, the resurrection of numerous divisions. I don't think he's high on the Divas division. I don't know if that's him or somebody else or whatever, but the Divas division itself has been doing pretty fine itself, so I have no problem with that. They've definitely done a lot of improvement with that over the last couple of months. But yeah, especially the tag team division, which I know he was a major supporter of about a year ago, and he said that, and there were numerous reports dating back in last summer or maybe even before that they wanted to bring back the tag team division, make it feel important again. And they did just that with Kane and Daniel Bryan, Team Road Scholars, Rey Mysterio, Divin Carr, the Primetime Players, and so on and so forth. So yeah, Triple H has been a major catalyst of change of WWE over the last 2 years. And as much as they rag on him, I mean, many others do, as a wrestler in his matches or, you know, feuds over the last few years and whatever, I'm not a huge fan of him in the ring. I would much rather just see him off the card for WrestleMania or whatever. I really don't care for him as a wrestler at this point. But, yeah, as a backstage official, I think he's done a lot of good for WWE in the last few years.
Absolutely. I mean, he's become pretty close with guys like Damian Sandow and Sheamus, who have then seen a good push. And definitely a great thing to get the indie guys back in. I mean, isn't that how we got CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and now The Shield?
Exactly. And Antonio Cesaro, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've been very impressed with what improvements that WWE has made with Triple H, making some of the calls. And now I hope that they kind of take this on a project-by-project basis. Like right now the project is the tag team division, but I also hope that they kind of try and resurrect the Divas division sometime in the future, and that Yeah, because I think that the Divas division is a load of untapped potential, which could bring in a lot of big ratings like it was back in the early 2000s. Because I think that was the prime time for the Divas. And I think if you get some of these really good women's wrestlers, now you've already burned some bridges. Yael Kim's gone. Eve is gone. Karma is gone. Three fantastic female wrestlers are gone. And I think that the WWE kind of screwed themselves by letting them walk away. But I really hope that they are able to resurrect the Divas division at some point in the future.
Yeah, we kind of touched upon this last week with the fact that I think the major problem is the lack of Divas in the division, and we just see the same matches every single week. And we also came to the conclusion that they need to bring up new faces from either the indie scene or from NXT, guys that are divas like Paige, who really stands out to me as an excellent diva who should be called up now. But a report just came out either, I think this past week, saying that Paige and other NXT stars will not be called up until after WrestleMania 29, which makes sense, because I guess they don't really want to get them lost in the shuffle on the road to WrestleMania. So I understand that. And then what do you do from now until the WrestleMania event? You just kill time by having Caitlyn versus AJ. I mean, I talked about this last week, but there are the two divas in the division right now who have major history with one another, who have known each other for over nearly 3 years since their NXT days. And then you have AJ go over in her hometown of, or home state, I should say, in New Jersey at WrestleMania 29, win her first Divas Championship against her former best friend, Caitlyn. The match may not be all that great because Caitlyn isn't all that great in the ring, but given the right opponent, I think Caitlyn could be brought to a good match, as we saw her match with Eve last week on the 20th anniversary of Raw. So her versus AJ could be a really good match if they give enough time to it. And I think the major problem with the Divas division in the last 2 years is that they haven't really been getting a major spotlight at WrestleMania. It was at WrestleMania last year that we saw that throwaway tag team match or whatever with Maria Menounos, and then the year before that was Snooki in a Six Divas tag team match, and the year before that, I don't even know. So, I mean, they really need to do a lot to make the Divas feel important. I think the first thing is giving them their first match on pay-per-view or on WrestleMania, on a WrestleMania card for the first time in years. The first time, I think, maybe since WrestleMania 23 or something like that, or their first singles match, championship matchup over the Divas Championship. And I think Caitlyn versus AJ is the first step in making, in that process of making the Divas feel important about that. As you said, maybe ratings, I'm not too sure about that, but. And then from there, you can bring up NXT Divas like Paige and others on the NXT roster who could really bring a lot of life in the Divas division that is now stagnant. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then you said, like, the last match of that, WrestleMania 23, and if I remember correctly, that was Melina versus Ashley. So not a very good one.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. That was around the time I first started watching wrestling. I had the biggest crush on Ashley at the time.
Yeah, great to look at. Not so great to look at in the ring. I'll just say that.
No, But she was everything my 12-year-old self could ask for, and that was before then when I actually could classify good and bad wrestling. So I thoroughly enjoyed that match until I went and rewatched that pay-per-view. But anyway, yeah, I think a quality Divas match could really beef up the WrestleMania card. And like you were saying, Caitlyn and AJ, I'm not the biggest fan of Caitlyn, but I do love AJ. And I think that they could put on a really good match. I'd be very happy with it.
Yeah, most definitely. It's all in the build. As long as they build it correctly in the next few months, they have kind of AJ break off on their own. They have Dolph Ziggler kind of break off on his own. You have Dolph Ziggler win the World Heavyweight Championship at some point in the next few months. You have AJ win the Divas division. Win their first Divas Championship in the next few months. They could be the next power couple of the WWE, not in Edge and Lita form when she was Women's Champion. Edge was WWE Champion back in 2005. And I know they made comparisons between the two in the last few months or in the last few weeks or whatever. But Dolph Ziggler and AJ have both respectively shot those rumors down because they don't want to be compared to Edge and Lita at all. Because I know they were epic as they were back in 05, 06 or whatever. So with that being said, I think AJ and Dolph have great potential as a whole. Not really just about Biggie Langston. I know he's getting a good rub from being in the ring with Cena and Ziggler and AJ and whatever. But let's see how he fits in all of this. He's just kind of random. And he's just kind of there at the moment. But even still, I like AJ and Ziggler as a couple, and AJ herself, they really break out. I'm not going to say save the division, because she can't really save it. Nobody can save the Divas division besides the writers. They're the ones that are giving them 2-minute matches on shows and whatever. I mean, sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes you get matches like Caitlin versus Alicia Fox, which wasn't too good this past week on Raw. I guess short matches are a good thing, but on pay-per-view and whatever, you should get long matches between the Divas and whatever, and I think it's all the writing's booking, the creative team and whatever, giving them long matches, giving them problem storylines and stuff like that. And I think having they took a step in the right direction over the last few months, and they had Caitlin in chase mode for the Divas Championship, and they kind of created a story there with her versus Eve. And I know it wasn't the most creative story with the whole Eve and the Wig thing, but it was a story nonetheless. That's what we can appreciate from coming out of that. So hopefully we see more of that from the Divas in coming months.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, they're going to have 4 hours to fill for WrestleMania, and I really hope that they just don't go with that same old Battle Royale again or the Miss WrestleMania thing. I want to see Big Bro in action. I mean, they get 5 minutes at the most on Monday night. Let them show off. I mean, most of these girls are very, very talented, especially if you got some of these new up-and-comers coming in. I really want to see them on the big stage, and I think that it really would beef up the WrestleMania card.
Absolutely. I mean, they have a lot of potential matchups that they can do for WrestleMania this year, and I think Caitlin versus AJ can be one of those matches. And as I said before, as long as it's given the right build-up and the right amount of enough time to shine in WrestleMania, it can really be one of the highlights of the show, especially with AJ winning the Divas Championship in her home state of New Jersey, which I think could create a very special moment we saw with Caitlin in her hometown of Houston last week on Raw.
Sorry, could you say that last part again?
Yeah, I think it could create a very special moment with her winning a championship in her hometown, home state of New Jersey, like they did with Caitlin last week on Raw in her hometown of Houston when she won the Divas Championship. Leave.
Yeah, that could be kind of cool. I just want to put the title on her anyway, just because I don't know. It's like, I don't know why I wanted to put the title on her. I just have a feeling that she'd be good with the title. And, you know, she'd represent the title well, in my opinion. She's good on the mic. She's over with the fans. And she can wrestle. And that really, that's all I care for in a champion.
Exactly. I mean, I think Caitlin's been doing a fine job with the title over the last week after the championship, last week in Raw, but the Divas champion is probably competing almost every week on Raw and SmackDown. They need to consistently deliver good matches. I mean, maybe not good matches from the Divas, but I'll say exceptional matches, which is what we saw with Eve when she was champion for the 4 months that she was Divas champion. So I think she's delivered as a successful Divas champion from September to January, and I think that's what AJ could be when she captures the championship as well. A lot of good matchups between her and Caitlin, between her and Alicia Fox, between her and Natalya, which I think could be great if given enough time between AJ and Natalya. But, yeah, I think AJ could do wonders with the Divas Championship. It could do wonders for her character. She's been in WWE since late 2010, so I'm really surprised it took WWE this long to finally push into the championship picture. But, yeah, hopefully they do it sooner rather than later, and hopefully we don't get one of those things where we're anticipating this huge match in WrestleMania like we saw last year with Beth versus Karma. It never ended up happening because Karma was in the pregnancy thing. They never ended up having the matchup. So hopefully we don't just keep on talking about Caitlin versus AJ and it doesn't come to fruition. That'd be a big disappointment. On that note, we're going off the live stream in the next minute or so. So those of you that are listening live at the moment, you're on blogtalkradio.com/PWPradio. Come back and check later for the rest of this podcast. And we'll be tweeting out the link as well, Ben and Seth as well. So make sure you check that out. And thanks for listening live. We really appreciate it. Before your Rumble on Sunday as well. So as I said, what I was saying before, yeah, the Divas Championship could do wonders for AJ's character and vice versa. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that on come WrestleMania. And hopefully we get that matchup and they don't disappoint by giving us something else. Like, as we said before, I miss WrestleMania where Santino's sister comes in and wins it, which was absolute bullshit. At WrestleMania 25, or having Snooki or another star from New Jersey Boar come in and do another eight-man Diva tag team match or something like that at WrestleMania. So, again, hopefully we get AJ versus Caitlin and that comes to fruition come WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, no, I think we're safe from Jersey Shore because people seem to be over that by now. But they really need to give. They really need to have a deepest match at WrestleMania. I mean, especially AJ, I think that could be the start of the resurrection of the division. So I'm trying to think of the current Divas roster now. You have AJ, you have Caitlyn, you don't have Eve anymore, you got Beth Phoenix. Hold on. My goodness. I'm sorry about that. Who else even is there? Alicia Fox.
Rosa Mendez, who doesn't really wrestle.
Rosa. I don't know. It's a very
Funkadactyl, who has done very well in the limited matches that she's done.
Yeah, Naomi. Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah. I almost forgot about Naomi.
At TLC.
Was a good match. That was a good match. That was, I thought, was the breaking point or the point where they should have broken Naomi from away from the Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls and whatever, but. I guess not, because she hasn't done anything since then. So hopefully she does, because as you said, yeah, she's a really good wrestler, and hopefully they do break away from that at some point. And she can kind of be like AJ. I'm not saying win the Divas Championship, but she can kind of weigh and kind of be her own wrestler, kind of do, you know, something in the Divas division where they can help improve that and help her give her own character and kind of break away from Brodus Clay. And I mean, I think it was smart tagging with Brodus Clay, because now the fans are familiar with her, but... And Brodus Clay's act is getting stale now, and I think having her go down with that sinking ship is not the best thing for her. So, yeah, just break her away, just do some things with AJ and Caitlyn. I mean, they have the history. All three Divas were on the third season of NXT in late 2010. So, yeah, I think they could definitely do something with Naomi. So, but, yeah, Naomi, Rosa, AJ, Caitlyn, Natalya, Alicia Fox, that's six I'm counting as we speak. And if you don't count Vicky, that's only six. And I think that's all the Divas we got at the moment.
What about Layla?
Oh, yeah, Layla, too. Yeah, that's going to make seven.
Yeah, we have seven. And then we have some of the NXT. We have Paige. And then...
Emma, too, right?
Hmm?
Emma? Emma, I think so. I'm not exactly sure. I don't watch it as much anymore.
I'm not too sure.
Who is that?
Emma?
Oh, I have no idea who that even is.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Okay. But anyways, I think the first thing they're going to have to do is bolster that roster. I mean, they've got some talent right now, some actual technical wrestling ability, especially in Natalya and AJ. But they need to beef up that division a bit more. Seven girls.
God knows how long.
Because seven girls just really is not enough. Because we don't want to be seeing the same feud over and over again, or the same people having the title. Because that's what we've been having for the past couple years. So
there's Oksana too.
Oh yeah, yeah, Oksana. When was the last time she wrestled though?
Well, she was on SmackDown. She wrestled Caitlyn, but, you know, she's not the best wrestler either, so I wouldn't really count her anyway. But even so, I think Caitlyn and AJ are all they got at this point. I mean, I like Layla, but I don't want to put her back in the title picture just yet. So, yeah, they're going to have to bring up Paige or something, because they got quite a few divas down there in the NXT roster that could really use on television. So, yeah, as you said, we need more fresh faces, because what we've got right now is just not cutting it.
Yeah. Now, what I would love to see is AJ vs. Caitlyn at WrestleMania, and then Paige debuts and interferes in the match and just knocks them both out, and that's her big debut.
That'd be interesting. If they can have her debut at the WrestleMania event, yeah, that could be huge.
Yeah, now, because she's the anti-diva, isn't she? Isn't that what she calls herself?
I thought who you interviewed the other day or last night on your show was not the anti-diva or no?
Well, it's interesting because she was. Ivelisse Velez, who I interviewed last night, wrestled as Sophia Cortez in WWE and referred to herself as the anti-diva. And now she's doing the same on the independent scene. But now it seems like Paige is taking over that gimmick.
Okay,
Because
I thought I had seen that. So I think that could be really interesting. That could give a jump start to the division.
That could be interesting. I mean, yeah, if they have her debut at WrestleMania, that could be pretty good. Maybe not just at WrestleMania, maybe like the next night at Raw or whatever. But, yeah, if she debuts at WrestleMania itself and attacked AJ or whoever, probably as if you ever debut as a face or a heel, it doesn't really matter because Caitlyn's her top face. You know, AJ's her top heel. That's all you really need to know at this point. So it doesn't really matter what you debut her as. But, yeah, it could be interesting. I think they could have some great matches with AJ and Paige would be the champion at some point if they bring her up relatively soon. So, yeah, having her debut at WrestleMania would be brilliant booking, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, and I just think that WrestleMania could be the biggest jumpstart that the big jumpstart that the Divas division needs. After that, they can, with good writing, they can go back to a place where they can become something that people actually stay and watch instead of becoming a bathroom break. And I think it's possible, and I think it's worth it. Because I'm one of the biggest supporters of the Divas division. I think a good Divas division can make or break not necessarily make or break company, but it can separate the good ones from the great ones. Like when TNA, when their Knockouts division was doing really good, their company as a whole was doing really good. So.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison. I mean, yeah, definitely. I think TNA has definitely done a lot with their Knockouts. I think they've done better in the past, but yeah, they've been doing a really good job with their Knockouts in the last 2 years or whatever since they had Gail Kim take over and since they brought in Gail Kim and Mickie James a couple years ago too. So yeah, they've been doing a really good job with their Knockouts division. Hopefully WWE can follow suit. I mean, they're in a better position now for Divas than they were last summer, because when they turned 3 hours, everyone was claiming they're going to get more time and all their new feuds and whatever. They weren't even featured on Raw for the first 2 months when they went 3 hours. They weren't featured on the television show at all, not even on WWE Superstars. They didn't get any matches at all on WWE television for majority of the summer of 2012, and it wasn't until August or September they finally started to put some emphasis on it when they had Eve win the championship, and they did the whole story thing with Caitlyn. And he had a championship with Eve and all that stuff. So at least they took a step in the right direction in recent months. It'll be better, but I appreciate what they've done with it in recent months, because it's definitely a step over what they've been doing a year ago. Now, a year ago was complete crap, and they weren't doing anything with it. Despite the fact that Beth Phoenix was champion, she wasn't doing anything because she or something. And then they didn't bring back Karma, and they brought in Maria Menounos. Instead, it was garbage, so I'm glad where they are. I'm happy with where they are right now. But as we just discussed, they could definitely be better.
Yeah. Now, we've got about 20 minutes left in this show. Let's kind of shift our focus over to this coming Sunday and the Royal Rumble. I mean, we talked about Punk and Rock at the beginning of the show. But let's talk about some more of the other parts of the show, mainly the actual Royal Rumble match. I've got a question for you. Do you think we'll see an Undertaker appearance at the Royal Rumble?
No. I think that was possible a couple months ago when it was being rumored that he was not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania and that he might be making an appearance at the Royal Rumble match itself, just a brief appearance. But now that it's pretty much set in stone that he will be competing at WrestleMania 29, I don't think we'll be seeing him at the Royal Rumble. But then again, we were saying that last year and he appeared the next time on Raw. So I think it's very much possible that we could see him in the Royal Rumble match. I want to see Taker versus being rumored at this point in time, and I don't know what else you do with Taker besides that match. So if you're going to go with that match, I don't know how you can really tease that in the Royal Rumble match. I mean, if Punk was not champion and he was in the Royal Rumble match, you just tease Taker's appearance by having him be number 30 or whatever, and the lights go out and you tease that it's him, but he doesn't actually ever come out. And Punk gets eliminated when he's looking down at him. I said that last week with the Cena scenario, but you can't really do that with Punk if he's not in the Royal Rumble match. So I don't think we'll be seeing Taker in the Royal Rumble match. Yeah, it would be interesting if he did, but I just don't see it happening.
Did you see today Wade Barrett's tweet about a certain surprise entrant?
No, what was it?
It was Papa Shango. He had bumped into Papa Shango and apparently had said that he was going to be in the Rumble, Papa Shango.
I would hope so. I take that with a grain of salt, though, because I don't know how long he's been doing this, but it's been a while. It's probably been a year now that he's been always talking about, a lot of his tweets, he's been talking about Papa Shango. Maybe it was even last year that he said he was going to be in the Royal Rumble. I don't know, but he tweets a lot about Papa Shango. I don't know why, but I would take that with a grain of salt. But if he did appear in the Royal Rumble, and that is true, I would mark out, that'd be pretty great. But I just take that with a grain of salt because I know he's tweeted about Papa Shango in a variety of different tweets before. I don't know why, but I know he's just tweeted about him before in a variety of different tweets for some odd reason.
Well, it's interesting because Papa Shango is obviously the godfather, Charles Wright, who has these, you know, clubs that he manages down in Las Vegas. And I met him, I guess it was a couple months ago, I think it was in November, at the same time when I met Shawn Michaels. And, you know, he's definitely still very much into the Godfather gimmick, but obviously that would not really work in today's WWE. So it would be interesting to see Papa Shango, because that would obviously very much work with today's WWE, but not something that he's really into these days.
I remember there was I think the last time we actually saw the Godfather was a few years back. Teddy Long was getting married on SmackDown, and it was interrupted by the Godfather trying to convince Teddy Long not to get married to whoever that was.
Oh,
and
Crystal, wasn't that it?
Crystal, yeah. And if I remember correctly, that's the last time we've actually seen Godfather gimmick. So if he were to come, it wouldn't be Godfather, I would assume.
Well, I think the last time we saw him actually after that was actually maybe a month or so after that. I think he was at the 15th anniversary of Raw that year. I'm not sure, but I thought he was out there. Am I right? I don't know. Was he at the? I thought he was at the show. I'll have to check back and look. But that was in December of 2007, so it was right around that time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was at that event. I'll have to check. But again, even still, regardless of where he was, that was both in 2007. So it was before PG went into effect, so, yeah, he hasn't appeared in over 5 years at this point, so I don't know if his gimmick would work into his PG product or whatever, but if he's only coming in for a brief Rumble appearance, he doesn't need to bring in the hose or whatever, the whole train, so it wouldn't even matter. Yeah, if he came in as Godfather, I think that'd be pretty cool, especially the fact, you know, maybe the hype up WWE 13 is in the game, they can hop up the old Attitude Era and whatever, and come down with the New Age Outlaws, because I've heard they might be in the match too, which would be pretty great, because Road Dogg was in last year's match. I would love to see Billy Gunn in this year's match. I would love to see X-Pac compete, which I highly doubt would be possible, but the returning stars on that note, the returning stars on Sunday should be pretty good, because last year we got Hacksaw, we got Road Dogg, we got Karma, we got a few others returning as well, so it could be good. It has the potential to be good, especially after the lack of returns that we got on the 20th anniversary of Raw, so hopefully they can bring out all the stars in the Royal Rumble pay-per-view on Sunday, because I'm extremely excited for that. It's always one of the highlights of the match, seeing some familiar faces and, you know, enter the fray and get their pick in the match as well.
Yeah, now, there's been all sorts of rumors as to who's going to be coming this year. I know a lot of people really want Goldberg back, and I personally love Goldberg and would mark out if he returned at the Royal Rumble. And I don't think we'll see Chris Jericho, because he, even though he's so adamant about not being at the Royal Rumble, I really don't think we'll see Chris Jericho like a lot of people are speculating. But it'll be interesting to see who we see. I'm going to be staying off the dirt sheets for like the next week or so, or at least until Sunday, just so it's not spoiled for me, because for the past 2 years, whoever's been coming has been spoiled for me. It was Booker T and Diesel a couple years
ago.
And that was just awful. Because I knew who was coming. It was still nice to see them, but yeah.
Yeah, 2011 when they had Booker T and Kevin Nash, because that was like days after. Because on Impact, right around that time, they were teasing the return of the Main Event Mafia, and of course, Booker T and Nash were both in the Mafia for TNA, so everyone was expecting them to go back there, but then they appeared in the Rumble that Sunday, and the news broke, and it was just impossible to avoid. And it was like one of those things where, I mean, even if you don't put the spoiler where it says, you know, on the dirt sheets, there's people talking about it. So there's no way in hell that you're going to be able to avoid it. So that's the part that sucks. I mean, you just got to stay off, like, Bleacher Report and Lords of Pain.net and all those kind of sites for the next 3 days. But it's definitely going to be interesting. I don't see at all Goldberg returning, honestly. I would love to see it, but the other day that there's no chance in hell of him returning to WWE at all, given his feelings towards the company. So I don't see that happening. But Chris Jericho, I said this a while ago, after like the night after Jericho left, but it would be epic if Jericho came back, which is it's doubtful at this point, but you have Jericho come back, win the Royal Rumble for the first time in his career, which should have happened last year. So he wins the Rumble this year, goes on to Mania to face Ziggler for the World Heavyweight Championship in their rubber match after we saw Ziggler win in his retirement match following SummerSlam. We saw Jericho win SummerSlam, so you get the rubber match between those two. You have him shake on after the match. You finally have Ziggler go over clean or something like that, retain the world championship, or you have Jericho finally win the big one on the grand stage of them all. So, you know, either way, I think it could be great if they went that direction. Highly doubtful, but I doubt they would go that direction, but I think it would be pretty cool. But as far as returning stars goes, I think I might know one. I just want to give out the spoiler alert. Would you like to know just in case? I mean, it's not a major, major star, but it's a familiar face. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I just want to discuss it. I don't know if you knew about it or not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
John Morrison, I think, is a possibility at this point. I'm not sure because someone broke the news on Bleacher Report a couple days ago. I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't be surprised because he hasn't been in WWE since late 2011. He has discussed returning to the WWE at some point, but it would be a nice surprise to see him back. I was saying maybe reunite with Miz in the course of the match, have a little Miz as you know, a little mini dirt sheet reasoning during the course of the match as faces. That'd be pretty cool as well. I don't know if he's making a full return to the company or if it's just for that night or if at all, because I think he's working not in Japan. Maybe it is in Japan. I don't know, but maybe he's a Dragon Gate show, something like that. He's only doing day one, and then he's not doing the rest of the days. And I think it was speculation that he could be back for it. I'm not sure, but I think it'd be pretty cool if we saw him on Sunday too.
I think it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, and there's also been talks of Shelton Benjamin making an appearance as well, although he tweeted out that he was not going to be there. But it'd still be pretty cool to see the Gold Standard back. He's been out of the company for, I can't remember how long, but I think the most likely
is 3 years. I think it's been since 2010.
Yeah. I think the most likely return we're going to see is Christian.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I wanted that last year. I wanted him to return last year and the year before because almost every single year during the time of the Royal Rumble, Christian is almost always injured. He had been in the Royal Rumble match, interestingly enough, since 2005. That was the last time he was in a Royal Rumble match because he wasn't in the company in 06, 07, or 08. Then or 09, he came back in February, so he wasn't in that match. 2010, he was ECW champion. 2011, he was injured. Last year, he was injured. And I was so hoping he was going to be entry number 30. I remember ranting on this on spoilers last year, but I was so hoping he was going to be entry number 30, and then we got Big Show instead, which I was so pissed about. So hopefully this year we get Christian in the Royal Rumble match, because it's been rumored that he has been medically cleared to compete by the end of January. And would you look at that? It's the 23rd. Is it 23rd? No, it's 24th today, but it's the end of January, so he's about to do back from injury, and I think the Royal Rumble is perfect for him. Of course, he's not going to win it, but even still, it'd be a great surprise to have him back from injury.
I'd love to see, like, entry number 30 be, like, Stone Cold or someone huge like that, and then they get, I don't know, they get eliminated fairly quickly. I think that would just be, I always think that the last number 30 should always be the biggest star, like the year Edge returned, 2011. He was number 29. I think Batista was number 30. And I think that just kind of cooled off the momentum once Batista entered. And I really thought Edge should have entered number 30. So I hope if Christian does return, he's number 30. Or if it's someone who's going to make a pretty big impact, that they come in at number 30 and not number 27 or number 29. Number 30 is where the big stars need to come out of that. And not Big Show Batista.
I see what you mean. I would love Batista, yes. Batista,
actually Batista now is worthy of a 30 spot, but back then.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Definitely not Big Show or someone like Dull like that. Big Show is not one of my favorite wrestlers, of course, so yeah, seeing the number 30 again, especially since early at night last year, he was in the World Championship match, so I saw it as vastly unnecessary why it was even in that match in the first place, in the Royal Rumble match that is, so. Yep, I mean, I understand where you're coming from as far as, you know, returns in the 30th spot, but I think in that sense it makes it predictable. I mean, we're all expecting someone to come back in that spot, and it kind of makes it – I know what you mean, but – and it saves, like, the best for last, but it kind of makes it predictable as far as the return goes. And having Edge return at number 29 that year would kind of caught everyone off guard. And I know everyone expected him to return that year, but it kind of caught everyone off guard that he came off at 29 – so it doesn't always give the 30th entrant that last spot. So it kind of varies. It depends who the star is, I should say that, because last year there wasn't a big enough star to return to number 30. They had Hacksaw, Road Dogg, and Karma. So those were all good surprises, but none of them are really worthy of that 30th spot. Again, neither was Big Show, but I think Christian is worthy enough to get that 30th spot, or I don't know about Stone Cold, but yeah, some kind of big name, or maybe a John Morrison. I don't know if he's even big enough, but... Yeah, it should be interesting. Hopefully they book the numbers well this year. We don't get any gotten commentators this year like Michael Cole or Jerry Lawler. Booker T is a semi-wrestler, but Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole are just the end of that for me, which is why it made it so disappointing in my opinion. So hopefully they utilize the numbers well this year. They give everyone a chance and not just like guys like the Usos, talking about like actual mid-carders, guys like Kane, guys like, you know, like Daniel Bryan, Rick Timor Scholars, guys like that, who deserve a spot in the Royal Rumble match over guys like, you know, Yoshitatsu or something, guys that are completely meaningless that don't deserve a spot in the match. Yeah, so hopefully they utilize it on Sunday, because if they do, it could be great.
Is Yoshitatsu even with the company anymore? I thought he got cut.
Oh, definitely. He always tweets every Monday, right before Raw, or maybe it's during Raw, "You watching Raw?" question mark. And every time I just want to be like, "Yeah, what the heck are you doing, man?"
Yeah, I don't know what's up with Yoshitatsu. Yeah, he's definitely still employed. I mean, that's what everyone says about, you know, guys like JPG and Alex Riley, Ted DiBiase, the forgotten stars of WWE superstars. But, you know, again, and speaking of Alex Riley and Curt Hawkins, those guys just came back from injury. So, and Curt Hawkins just came back with a whole new look. They were both on Raw this past week as well, and during the massive brawl. I would love to see those guys in the Royal Rumble match, because I think those guys deserve a shot at being in the Royal Rumble, because I think that could really launch their careers, because they have lost potential as well. So, I would love those guys back. But, yeah, Yoshitatsu, I can assure you, is still employed by WWE.
Yeah, I guess I don't... follow him on Twitter, so I wouldn't know that. Okay, but anyways, we've got about 7 minutes left in the show. Let's do our official predictions for the show. We have our pre-show for the United States Championship, Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz.
Well, I've got, as I said before, I've got Cesaro on this one. No need for him to drop the U.S. Championship anytime soon. So I've got Cesaro going over Miz here.
Same here.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely no reason the Miz wins here. Tag team match for the Tag Team Championships, Team Hell No versus the Road Scholars.
Team Hell No is going over every single time, almost every single time these guys have locked up. And if you have Team Hell No go over again, I understand the fact that they're entertaining champions, but there's just really no need for them to hold the championships any longer. So, Team Road Scholars for this one. Whether it's with the help of Shelby or not, Dr. Shelby or not, I'm not really sure. It would be pretty cool if he did help them, but even still, I've got Team Road Scholars as your new WWE Tag Team Champions after Sunday.
I'm going with the Road Scholars.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Rhodes Scholars as well. I think that this could set up a potential. I mean, we already saw the Daniel Bryan Kane feud, but I think going into WrestleMania, the breakup of the team, I think that if they get angry at each other, if the Rhodes Scholars win the title, I think we could see a potential WrestleMania feud between Daniel Bryan and Kane starting now. So I'm also going to go with the Rhodes Scholars.
Maybe. I mean, again, I said this before, but we saw that feud during the course of summer, and that wasn't even all that great anyway, so it would make sense. It would make sense if that happened, but I'd much rather just see them go their separate ways, like Kofi Kingston and R-Truth did, and just have them go their separate ways without either turning heel, so we just get those guys in singles competition again without feuding each other, or having their, you know, having another match together with, you know, like the millionth time after we saw them feud last summer.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting it'll be interesting to see what they do with Kane after Team Hell No breaks up.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, I can see him like the world title picture, you know, and whatever picture they put him in. But yeah, Kane, yeah, I had no idea.
Kane can just fit in anywhere, and that's what he likes to do. He likes to put people over. So I think that they can just, I think they'll just put him, stick him somewhere, and he'll be good at it. No, I'm fine with that, as long as he's fine with that. All right. Next match is the World Heavyweight Championship match. Alberto Del Rio versus Big Show.
This should be a good match. I was highly in by their match on SmackDown a few weeks ago. I think Del Rio is a face. I think he's getting over nicely. So I'm liking this Reigns World Champion, but I think it'd be way too soon to have him drop the championship here at Big Show. Maybe at Chamber, but if he loses the championship here, it's completely meaningless. So. Yeah, of course, Del Rio to go.
Absolutely. They are building Del Rio to be a top baby face in WWE. There's no way he's losing.
Yeah. There's really no... Sorry, there's no way that I see Big Show winning the title back. So I really... I hope and believe that we'll see Del Rio walk out as World Heavyweight Champion on Sunday. Although, if Big Show wins, that means we don't get to see him in the Royal Rumble, which would actually make me pretty happy. So, I don't know.
That's true.
All right. WWE Championship singles match, CM Punk versus The Rock. Who you got here?
Well, this match is probably the most unpredictable of all the matches on the card, obviously. I could see CM Punk going over if John Cena was to cost Rock the match, or maybe even the Shield interfere. I know the Shield can't interfere, but maybe they will somehow or some way. Maybe Maddox, after talking with Heyman, I know he was injured on the SmackDown tapings somehow, so maybe that will fit into it somehow. But I'm looking forward to this match. Obviously, it should be a great match if Rock is in condition, as me and Ben were talking about before. But, yeah, I think Rock going over is probably the likely option at this point. Having him go on to Mania as WWE champion, it could create for a major moment. I see this closing the show, Rock, your new WWE champion here.
It's a difficult match to predict. Like you said, it could really go either way. But I'm gonna say that Punk stays champion.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Punk as well, just because I don't see Rock wrestling at the Elimination Chamber. And I see Punk wrestling at the Elimination Chamber. I just don't see The Rock doing it. So,
I think he's being advertised for it, though.
He may be advertised for it. Okay, maybe. Okay, I could see him
at the event. I could see him being at the event and then having contenders matches in one of the chambers, like we saw a couple of years ago with John Cena when he won one of the chamber matches to face Miz with the title at 27. He doesn't have to be necessarily wrestling there. I know he's advertised. He could still show up in a special guest referee role or something, you know? So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. That's a very unpredictable match. I still am going to go with CM Punk on that one, though. And then finally, the Royal Rumble match. Who you got?
If John Cena wins this, which is a major possibility that he will, I will be extremely pissed. I mean, this guy does not need a Rumble victory to go to main event. The main event of WrestleMania. I understand that they want to do Rock versus Cena again. They don't need the Royal Rumble win for this match. They don't need it at all. So they could still do that match. I'm fine with that. They just don't need Cena to win this match. The Rumble again, after winning exactly 5 years ago to the very day on January 27, 2008. So with that being said, if we're going to get a fresh face to win this thing, I want Ryback, a guy that can go on to WrestleMania, win the World Heavyweight Championship, get his Mania moment, head on SmackDown as your World Heavyweight Champion. So I've got Ryback for this one.
If CM Punk loses his match against The Rock, CM Punk will win the Rumble. If CM Punk wins his title match, then I'm going to say Ryback. Because I also do not want to see CM Punk, not CM Punk, I don't want to see John Cena win.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't want to see him win, but I think it's going to happen. I'm going to go with Cena for the Royal Rumble win.
I think it's just too logical to happen, you know. I mean, I think it's just way too, just way predictable in order to happen. I mean, if they were to go that exact same route with Rock winning the championship, Cena winning the Rumble, and doing all that stuff, I think it's just extremely predictable just to do it on the road to WrestleMania. They need to switch it up a little bit by having Rock
win the championship.
Yeah, exactly. They need to have Punk win the championship and then have someone else win the Rumble. Just to throw a monkey wrench into the thing, in the, you know, the long scheme of things, so we get something unpredictable going to the road to WrestleMania.
I really hope Cena doesn't win. And you say that it's too logical to happen. And I don't know. I think WWE might go with an anti-swerve here, to coin a phrase. Everyone's kind of thinking that, oh, this is way too logical to happen. Obviously, they're going to swerve, and then they don't. So I could actually see an anti-swerve happen there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see the one on Sunday, but you never know. I guess we'll have to see come to Royal Rumble. But, you know, that aside, I'm extremely excited for this event. Hopefully it lives up to the hype. It has all the potential in the world. So I'm looking forward to it. It looks like a great event on paper.
Yeah, it does indeed. So I believe that's all the time we have.
Indeed, indeed.
All right, so you can follow me at SirBen_WE on Twitter. You can email this show, spoilerspodcast@gmail.com, with any comments, questions, or concerns. And you can find my writing at one of our host sites, WrestleEnigma.com.
And you guys can follow me on Twitter, @Sam_GSM. You can like my Facebook page, Graham Jason Matthews. Find my stuff on Bleacher Report just by searching Graham Jason Matthews. On my website at nextowrestling.weebly.com. Weebly.com. Find me on YouTube, Ted DiBiase, Priceless 9, and listen to Save Us GSM every Wednesday night at 10 p.m., 9 Eastern Central on PW247.net. Huge show immediately following the Royal Rumble on Sunday night. And Seth, if you would like to plug your stuff as well.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out my site, GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com, GUTT, WrenchPowerBlog.com. Check me out on Bleacher Report, and every Wednesday night at 9, just before Save Us GSM, you can check out Oh, You Didn't Know on PWP Radio. Last night, we had Ivelisse Velez, and we're going to have a lot of guests coming up in the next few weeks, so check that out.
All right, so thank you all for listening to episode 57, and we will see you next Thursday with Royal Rumble Fallout and the start to WrestleMania. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.